It starts small, as many great things are apt to do, but moves swiftly, picking up momentum, touching all in its path in profound and often unexpected ways. It is that ubiquitous yet invisible force as powerful as our instinct to eat, to breathe, to love. We know it here as Loko Maikaʻi, the need to show kindness, as natural to the human condition as a raindrop making its way to the sea. In this time of turbulence and fear, have we strayed too far from the path of selflessness? Is compassion in such short supply?
Many of you thought not and shared with us the simple gestures that restored your faith in the inherent goodness in all of us.
Of the many letters you sent us, we chose a handful of the most heartfelt. Loko Maikaʻi lives in our island home.
Scott was diagnosed with stage 4 sarcoma, which is a very rare type of cancer. And since then, we have been going to chemotherapy. And at the cancer center, we would always see patients walking in with high risk of falling. And we thought, what a great opportunity to help them by making these walking sticks and offering it to these patients for free.
Because it helps me, I use it when I'm not feeling good. And it helps me from falling down, so I thought maybe I could help people. Just up the street at Keaʻiwa Heiau, we see the strawberry guava trees that are invasive to Hawaii. And I figured, well, they're very strong and they look nice. I could make some walking sticks from them, so.
It's helped him emotionally, like he's adding value and sharing what's helping him help others going through the same type of challenges.
I cut them and bring them back home, and I scrape the bark off of them, and then I let them dry for about 2 to 3 months. Then I sand them and varnish them, and when they're ready, give them away to people that need them.
We've never been a social media type of couple, but he felt like this was the time and the calling to publicly announce his diagnosis to help others.
I'm at Queens now. I was admitted yesterday and I just started my chemo treatment.
I lost a bunch of weight, but I put it back on, so I'm doing pretty good. Jenny's feeding me well.
Without my wife, Jenny, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. And also my kids, they help me a lot. It's been pretty rough. So physically and mentally and spiritually, and she's been supporting me and having to basically pick up everything that I've done before, and then she has to take care of me.
From the beginning, any energy he puts out there, it was, how can I help others through this?
If you think about others, sometimes that helps get through the day.
Scott Yamashita suffers from a rare form of cancer that's ravaging his body. Still, he found the strength to enter the Great Aloha Run and finish it. He lives by his motto, every day better. Here's Jim Mendoza with his story.
Among the thousands of people who participated in this year's Great Aloha Run, Scott Yamashita was one of many who set out from the starting line where he shot this short video.
Been feeling pretty good lately. I haven't doing any chemo, so I'm just on an oral med now.
The decision to do the race was a last-minute thing, and minutes matter to Scott. The 50-year-old husband and father is battling a rare form of cancer called leiomyosarcoma that has spread from his abdomen to his liver and lungs. Walking the Great Aloha Run took all the energy he had.
This is my path, so I try to make the best of every moment, you know, every waking moment.
You can say he is living on borrowed time. Following his diagnosis, doctors gave him just a few months to live, but that was about 2 years ago. He says he'd never be able to face this fight without faith in God and the love of his wife and children.
It's amazing what she does and finds the doctors and appointments, and she also supports me emotionally and spiritually, and my kids also, you know, they're behind me all the way, and I can talk to them. And they can help me through the emotional side of it.
When he was healthy, he was self-employed and an avid fisherman. Now he simply lives to make today better than yesterday by sharing a smile and a hug and having meaningful conversations. We should all live like that.
You know, if you can do those three things, then you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And that small difference is going to make a larger difference in other people's lives.
Other people are playing a big part in his life. Many have chipped in to help with his medical expenses through a GoFundMe campaign. He says the support is amazing.
I never could have imagined the kind of support that I've had from family, friends, and strangers, and so many strangers.
Scott wishes he didn't ignore the pain in his stomach, that it was an early warning sign of his cancer. By the time he was diagnosed, it was in stage four. So he has this urging for others.
If there's any kind of history of any type of cancer in your family, you really need to push your doctor, your medical staff, and say, I need to get tested.
His cancer is inoperable, but chemotherapy slows it down. There are bad days, but the day of the race was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I ended up being one of the last people. I think there was maybe 10 people behind me at the end of the race. It took me almost 4 hours to finish, but I finished it, and they didn't have to carry me.
It took a big chunk of his morning to walk the 8 miles from Aloha Tower to the finish line at Aloha Stadium. He enjoyed every minute and every step. I'm Jim Mendoza for Hawaii News Now.
Welcome, friends and family. Thank you all for being here today. I am Tate Yamashita, Scott's oldest son. We decided to open with the videos you just saw because we felt that the videos... The videos not only explain my dad's diagnosis, but also his attitude towards it. My dad always told me, if you want to make a difference in the world, you must start by being a positive influence in your own small circle of people. When you succeed at being a positive influence, your small circle will naturally branch out and it won't be so small anymore. We gathered here tonight are all a part of my dad's not so small circle. I think it's only been recently that I've started to really grasp how large of an impact my dad had on so many people. It's almost every day that I learn of a new story about how my dad helped someone out or taught them something important. These stories that we have of my dad are a part of his legacy. I would like to encourage everyone to keep this legacy alive by sharing these memories and by making a positive impact on your own small circles. Thank you again for being here and for all the support you guys have given my family.
The problem with Scott is that everyone thinks that they're his best friend. And as the first to address you today, I will claim the self-proclaim the title under the rule, first come, first serve. My name is Josh Horita, and this is my wife. And we have raised our family alongside Scott and Jenny, both on and off the soccer field. So we have a problem today. As one of Scott's many gifts was finding value in others and treating them to that potential. I, as well as many of you, are benefactors of that gift. And in all honesty, Laurie and I feel somewhat unqualified and inadequate to be standing here in front of you today, as there are so many more who have been touched by Scott and his family. So we're presented with this dilemma of trying to properly captivate, honor, and project the life and influence of a great man, like the fleeting but infinite ripples that a rock creates as it's thrown into still water. As I said, Laurie and I have been friends with the Yamashita family for a long time. Our kids are the same age. Between soccer games, travel, potlucks, and a bunch more, we've had the wonderful honor and blessing to raise our family alongside Scott's. But in particular, my wife's journey through her own diagnosis of breast cancer has brought Scott and Jenny closer into our lives over the past year, several years. Through experiencing our own cancer journey and walking along with others, I've quite frankly come to hate, my wife teaches our children that hate's a bad word. I very much dislike the phrase, lost their battle to cancer. Scott did not lose anything. There are so many who are alive and well, and yet live below the measure of life and capacity by which Scott lived. I believe that life, and more importantly, victory in life, should be measured by influence, by contribution, and goodness, rather than duration. By that metric, Scott won his battle against cancer. Because cancer could not deter him from this lifelong initiative, even until the very end. Laurie and I sat with him on his 50th birthday. And while in pain, he worried about all of you. About me. And my children. Even to the very end. This guy is crazy. He called me a few months ago. Several months ago. I helped Scott with all his real estate dealings. He loved his family. He loved his children. He loved soccer. He loved you. He loved real estate too. He called me a few months ago and he said, I want to buy a property. I'm like, Scott, you have so much to do and so many things on your plate. But it was full throttle. And caring for those whom we loved, you and me, especially you guys in the front row. So he won. He won his battle with cancer. I have so many stories to share, and I know that I need to keep my comments short because there's so many other fake best friends after me that need to share their own personal stories about Scott. So I'll end here. Scott, we love you. Thank you for being our best friend. Our mentor. An inspiration. God bless you, my friend.
Hi, everyone. Jenny asked me to read a letter that she's written to everybody, to Scott and to her children. And before I do that, I just want to share one moment that stands out to me. And in August, I think it was, as I was taking my oldest to college in Utah, I think Scott was just home by himself for a moment. And he called me, needing some encouragement, because it was getting more and more difficult to keep fighting. And in my conversation with him, one thing he reiterated to me over and over was that he just didn't want to disappoint his family and his friends. And although I tried my best to assure him that the way he has kept fighting could never be a disappointment, I know in the moment of all of it, it was hard to see. And so I want you, Tate and Toby and Tori and Jenny, to know how much your dad fought for you. And I know that you know that by the way that he's lived. But more importantly, I want you to take that with you and in turn fight for him. As I read this letter to you from Jenny, she asked me to be her voice. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight as we celebrate Scott. The love and support our family got and continues to receive have been overwhelming, and our hearts are full. Writing this message was difficult, as there were no words to express gratitude and appreciation for everything throughout this journey. When Scott was diagnosed on July 2nd, 2021, he was given 4 months to live. Because of your support and prayers, he overcame those 4 months and continued to fight each day. Each day after that 4 month mark was a gift, and we felt so blessed. A lot of his motivation to fight came from many of you here tonight. There were times he wanted to give up when the pain was too unbearable, but he would think of each of you. Your thoughts and encouragement, they came pouring in, and it would inspire him to keep going. This journey gave Scott and me new perspectives. What I would like to share is with the dates you see on the slide. July 13th, 1972, November 19th, 2023. Many of us first look at the dates to calculate the years and identify the age. But we've learned that it's not about the dates or age. The significance is in the dash between the dates, because it represents all the life lived in between. Tonight, you will hear from others about how Scott lived in his life and his impact on so many. As his wife, Jenny, I've had the honor to witness his faith's strength and relationship with God. I also had the privilege to understand the true meaning of his outlook on life. Some of the most precious lessons I learned from Scott was by hearing his explanations for his actions. To share a few, Scott always wanted us to be out of the house from the morning to the evening. He always told me we needed to be outside. It's how we have the opportunity to help others and make use of our days. Scott was always giving. He believed that if you're going to give, give to give. Give without expectations or questions, because once you've given, it's no longer yours to take. Many times, his giving was his time for others. During COVID, he consistently delivered meals weekly to ensure those families knew someone cared about them beyond just handing them a meal. He felt like the friendships and trust he built with others through these actions were invaluable and cherished them close to his heart. Towards the end, although in extreme pain, he made it a priority to spend time with as many people as he could. He did so because he wanted everyone to know you're important to him. You were worth his time, his most precious currency, and you wouldn't be forgotten. I hope you will always remember the memories cherished with him. Scott, I'm praying you can hear me. I told you this before you left us. The dash between your years is no longer a dash. Although too short, it's bold because of how you lived your life. You've done so much for others and dedicated your life and trust in God. I hope you see the sanctuary today from heaven, because it shows how many lives you've impacted, family, friends, and even strangers. We've had some hard conversations about when this time came, you leaving us. You did all you could to help prepare the kids and me, but even with as much as we prepared, it doesn't soften the pain of missing you. People say it takes time, but as time passes, we miss you more and more, especially with the holidays. My only comfort is knowing you're not in pain and suffering, but in God's hands. When you first got diagnosed, you asked God, "Why me? Why now?" We discussed how sometimes the most difficult journeys strengthen us. Everything is in God's plan. We concluded that God took you first so that you could be there to hold our hand when it came time for us to meet you. So until the day comes when I reach for your hand, I will continue your legacy with our kids, and we will live our lives as you hoped, to live as if there's no tomorrow. I will always remember your voice and your light. It's an honor to have been your wife and have three beautiful children with you, plus everyone else we added to our family over the years. I begin and end each day with memories of hugging and laughing with you. Thank you for your memories. I will always love you and cherish the blessed life we have together. To Tate, Toby, and Tori, Dad and I are so proud of you. It's extremely tough to watch someone you love suffer so much. Knowing what you had to endure from the beginning of this journey, Dad and I always talked about how amazed we were by your level of strength. You all stepped up and adapted from being cared for by your dad to being your father's caregiver. Tate, research Scott's meds to understand the side effects and if rates for it being better. There's a big word there and I don't want to sound it out. Allowing us to know what to expect. He cooked and ensured Scott ate healthy. After he passed, he ensured I was never alone and stayed by my side. Toby immediately transitioned to online school to spend time with us and help me take care of Scott so that I could continue to work. When Scott didn't have the strength, he was there to physically help with the Eva property, a project near and dear to Scott's heart. And he would help me endless amounts of time in the middle of the night to take care of Scott. As for Tori, when Scott was still in pain, after being maxed out of his pain meds, she prayed with him and recited Psalms 23. This is why Psalms 23 is on the slide. She turned his looks of pain into smiles and his cries of discomfort into a discussion around Bible verses. Each of you Tate, Toby, and Tori is a special gift from God. And we're very grateful for you every day. Dad and I will always love you with all of our hearts. Thank you again to everyone for being here and for all of your love and support. At this time, we would like to call up some of Scott's friends, the fake best friends, to share a few words about Scott. Dave.
So I guess I'm the fake number one best friend. So how many of you here would consider Scott your best friend, or at least a really good friend? And you know, you would fall in that category. And if it's by time, first come, first serve, I got you beat, Josh. So let's see. Scott had a way of helping one realize that you really mattered. No matter your current situation, he would utilize whatever was in his possession, his proximity, or his power to help you. He was like a real-life MacGyver or Mother Teresa rolled into one, right? He had a way of thinking outside of the box. He was a real Renaissance man. So I was asked to share one memory, but instead, I'll share three words. I'll always remember this. We were probably about 9 or 10 years old. Like, I'm 1 year older than Scott. But we were about 9 or 10 years old, and we used to be in this thing called Royal Rangers. It was a Christian version of the Boy Scouts. And we were camping in the mountains of Olomana next to a stream. And I remember this. I remember Eric was there too. You know, he was part of the Royal Rangers. It was an emphasis, it was, like I said, it was a Boy Scout crew, but with an emphasis on the Lord, on Jesus. So I don't quite remember this part, but I'll just say that Scott had found he either found chicken wire or he brought some chicken wire from home. I forget what it was. But from the chicken wire, he made a prawn trap, and we caught 2 prawns. Well, he caught 2 prawns. I was just along for the ride. It was like those soft-shell prawns with the long blue pinchers. And then so we cooked it up, and we cooked it in butter, and then, you know, we had a mini feast that night. So this spoke of his ingenuity and his creativity. He was always thinking up solutions for problems. And many of us have benefited from this trait. So the first word that I really remember him by was his ingenious. Felt like he could do whatever he wanted. Like, he was just not limited. He was ingenious. He was always busy doing something, but he always had time to help or lend a solution or a perspective to a matter. I remember several years ago, probably about 5 years ago, we were working on a house, and he got a call from someone that was offering him a job. And I remember he was like in this deep conversation. He was talking to this person, and maybe you're here today, I don't know. But this person offered him a job, and it would start at 6 figures. And then after he got off the phone, he told me that he had turned it down. I was like, what? Hook me up, bro. But anyway, I was joking. But he told me after, and he said, the reason being that it's not enough money for me to make my family the third priority. Number one being God, and his family being the second priority. He didn't want to exchange that order. So this spoke of his being intentional. Scott was intentional. And lastly, during these past few months, we had conversations concerning his health predicament. I was inspired and I was encouraged by his faith. and his trust in the sovereign plan of God. He wasn't angry, he wasn't resentful, and he wasn't self-pitying with the cards that he was dealt. If I might say, the reason I believe I'm here is because his family, I believe his family is a family of city changers. His mom witnessed to my mom, and my mom accepted Jesus. And, you know, we all followed along, went to church together, and I believe it's the reason why I'm here is because of his family. But anyway, this is what I want to share with you, is that his response privately to what he is enduring was the same that he shared with everyone publicly. Of course, he was hoping and he was trusting God for physical healing. Yet he was okay if it was his time. And you've heard everyone say that. You saw it in the videos. And that was truly what Scott, in those times, I mean, like, you'd think, like, in the private times, like, come on, bro. Like, for real? And it was. Like, what you see is who he was. And we probably already knew that. That's why he's so dear in our hearts. But I believe this spoke of his integrity. So Scott was ingenious, he's intentional, and he's integrous. And I'm sure there's more adjectives that could describe him, but these three stood out for me, and in this limited time, it's all I could come up with. So I wanted to read a scripture that I feel that resembled or encapsulated his life, and it's a prayer of Moses. And it's in Psalm 90, verse 12, and it says this: teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And with that, I'd like to call up Alex.
Dave, that was an amazing story. I never know you was in Power Ranger. Hey everybody, my name is Alex Okihara, and I am Scott's friend from high school. You know, I've had a lot of time to think about things since Scott was first diagnosed and since his passing. And it's been a real roller coaster of emotions. The question of why Scott, why him, has haunted me for more than 2 years. And I realized that I will never know the answer to the question of why Scott was taken from us so soon. But what I do know is that I'm truly blessed to have a friend and brother like Scott for the past 37 years. There are people that come into your life and change you forever. For me and for many of you, that person was Scott. He had the unique ability to connect with anyone, anywhere, at any time. And before I share anything further about Scott, Pastor Jake will play a video that Jenny received from Scott's friend in Uganda. Yes, Uganda. And, you know, Scott just made an impact on people across the globe. And 13 time zones away, we have Sam in Uganda watching this. But before we begin, here's some background for the video. In July of 2008, Scott went to Uganda on a church mission to install water purification equipment in a village. But the week before, he had a huge kidney stone, and he described it as having all these spikes, and it sounded more like a weapon than anything else. He went to the ER and had surgery for its removal. Scott would later recap to me that passing a kidney stone is the worst pain known to man, even more painful than childbirth. And that's confirmed by a US News report. The doctor told him that going to Uganda was simply out of the question. But Scott, being Scott, and we know Scott as being stubborn, he was very determined to go. And he simply told the doctor, "I don't care what you say, just give me some medicine and I'm gonna go." And so he went. And here's the video of Sam remembering Scott.
We are getting children, family and friends, 3% from Uganda, East Africa. I consider this an honor to remember my friend and a true brother in Christ, Scott Yamashita. He no longer lives with us, but alive in our memories. I believe he's with the Father in heaven. The news of his passing gone to glory wasn't easy for me. When he told me the sickness he had and its implication, I prayed and believed. I prayed and hoped for different results. I thank God for the time I got to know Scott. I met Scott in 2009 while on a mission in Uganda. God connected us and we became dear friends as we shared our dreams and hopes. Hopes in fulfilling God's purposes for our lives. He had a heart for the community. When he saw a need for clean water in our village, he bought for the community a water tanker and a purifying equipment for the village to access clean water. He helped us to build the house for my family, which was under difficult circumstances. He supported our foster family children with basic needs, including clothes, fees, food, and medical care. He was very supportive to my wife for her upgrading to train in midwifery. I miss Scott, and I trust to meet him before our Father in heaven. I pray that God, our Father, will comfort and strength and give peace to Jenny and the entire family. I love you all. Sam Chiri.
And just as Scott was there for Sam, he was always there for me. Whenever I needed him, from being my skateboard buddy in high school, to being the best man in my wedding. He was there for the birth of my sons, and he was an inspiration to me as a parent. Looking out at the audience, I would say that the majority of the people here have met Scott after the kids were born. Maybe it was through Tutu and me, through school, or through soccer. And so I wanted to share some observations I had of Scott from high school to fill in some of the gaps. Now I'm talking about the teenage days here, when our ability to make good decisions was sometimes questionable. The first thing I wanted to note about Scott is that he always seemed to have an apple with him. Day in, day out, apple, apple, apple. I thought he just really liked fruit. And so much so that during our high school graduation, in exchange for his diploma, he gave the dean of our school a banana. Now, some people remember it as a pineapple, but I remember it as a banana. This incident and others like an alleged stink bomb during the ceremony led to a letter of reprimand to HBA's class of 1990. But you can imagine my excitement when I attended Toby's high school graduation over here and I saw Toby in line, cap and gown, and with a banana in hand. However, there was no exchange of banana for diploma, and it turned out that Toby was just hungry. Another observation that I had of Scott was even back then, he was a bit of a tinkerer. I can just picture him there at his high school job, working at Radio Shack, eating an apple, probably took some capacitors out of a box and soldered them all together. These were the foundational years before he became the carpenter, plumber, painter, mechanic, electrician, heavy equipment operator, handyman that we know. And he was the only classmate to have a cell phone in his car, which he installed, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And the last thing I would like to share from our high school days was one night, I was riding in Scott's silver Mazda GLC, the the one with the cell phone inside, through Waikiki. And in all fairness, he probably had an apple in the glove compartment. At one point, we were driving on Kalakaua Avenue with Kapilani Park on the right and the ocean on the left, and we're heading toward the zoo. And as many of you know, the road bends to the right onto Montserrat, which is a one-way street. And as Scott approached the bend, he spontaneously, impulsively decided to go left in the opposite direction of the one-way street. He gunned it down about 400 feet before turning again by Waikiki Beach, a silver blur in the night. Luckily, there were no oncoming cars and no police officers at the time, which is a rarity for Waikiki. And it was at that point in time that I realized that Scott was pretty nuts. And that was the thing about Scott. He would get to life, he would get to where he wanted to in life by making his own path. Highly intelligent, but too smart for school, Scott could have picked anything he wanted to be in life. But out of all of the occupations he could have picked, he picked the most important one for his family. And that was the job of being a stay-at-home dad. That position didn't pay money, but Scott realized that you can always make more money, but you can never make more time. He relished the joy of being a parent. And I would say at that moment, Scott's world just blossomed. With Tate, Toby, and Tori, he gave being a father everything he had. And to Jenny, he gave being a husband everything as well. He just adored his family. There are so many other stories I would like to share with you, but there's a long list of people and other fake best friends. And so I'm excited to hear from Wade Hayashi, who I was fortunate enough to meet through ASO Soccer and have Scott coach our boys team. But before I go, I'll leave you with a quote. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. It's by Dr. Seuss. We are all truly blessed to have known Scott, and although he is no longer here with us physically, his legacy of kindness will live on through each of us. And now anytime you see an apple or a banana or an apple banana or one-way street or see a map of Uganda, you'll think of him too. Scott, you are forever in our thoughts and forever in our hearts.
When I look around and see the many people here this evening, it's obvious that Scott was a very special person and touched many lives beside my own. I'm honored to share with you my thoughts of my friend Scott Yamashita. Scott was a man of immense intellect and talent. His work-related skills were electrical, carpentry, plumbing, tile, masonry, drywall, painting, automotive, and probably a few more that I've missed. Although he had the intelligence to choose any career path, his passion was his family, and he always put them first. There were many times when Scott would work all day, come home, grab the family and some friends, and head to the beach so the boys could get in an evening surf session. Scott loved the ocean as it always gave him peace. One of his favorite pastimes was freedive spearfishing. Scott shared with me once that he was always mentally exhausted because his brain was constantly thinking of things. He found that only spearfishing could provide him the environment where his mind would be clear of any outside thoughts, and he could relax and be one with the ocean. Scott was an outstanding spearfisher who always shared his catch with friends and mentored others interested in learning to spearfish. Mentoring and sharing his knowledge was one of Scott's natural talents. He taught my eldest son, Reese, to ride a bike in one day. Granted, it was crash or learn style, but it worked. When my younger son, Riley, was only 7 years old, Scott was able to give him the confidence to join the older boys and jump off the Waimea Bay Rock. As our boys became teenagers, Scott would give Tate, Toby, and friends small jobs to perform and pay them for their efforts. He wanted them to experience physical labor and learn the value of money. I learned a lot from Scott when he built a third bedroom in my two-bedroom townhouse. Then 4 years later, with a smile on his face, helped me tear it all down and restore it to original. He never complained or told me how stupid that was. But mentoring and teaching was not Scott's greatest gift. I believe it was his empathy and sincere caring for others. This is a man who, if he sees someone in distress, will immediately come to the person's aid. On one occasion, Scott stopped in the middle of the road to render aid to a motorcycle rider who was not wearing a helmet and just sustained a head injury, which knocked him unconscious. When the rider regained consciousness, he began to chase Scott around, thinking that Scott was attacking him. Scott was able to calm the man down and help him receive medical treatment. Another time, Scott pulled over to help a man who had just been run over by a car while trimming the grass on the side of the road. He tried to save that man's life, but could only offer him the comfort of knowing that someone who truly cared was with him. That loss really hurt Scott's heart. Even when Scott was sick and struggling with the side effects of chemotherapy, he had others on his heart. He was worried about the well-being of a homeless man that he befriended. So with Jenny's help, he made sure his friend was able to get on the state's welfare assistance program. We all have our special memories of Scott. And like me, I'm sure you've been revisiting them lately. While doing so, I realize that I will probably not meet another Scott Yamashita in my lifetime. I feel very blessed to have had the chance to call him my friend and witness such a life well lived. I would like to call Brennan Kimura, who will be our next speaker.
Dear Uncle Scott, you gifted me so many amazing memories that I will carry with me for a lifetime. I'm admittedly having a hard time coming up with something to share just to the immense volume of memories. It is hard to narrow it down whilst fully encapsulating who you were or the impact you had on me. You were my coach, dive partner, hiking buddy, and teacher. I remember those summer days where I'd be stuck at home, you'd pick me up with the boys and we'd go adventuring across the island. Hiking in the mountains, getting pounded in the shore break at Electric Beach, or going fishing off the beaten path. There was never a dull day spent with you. I can still remember packing into your truck and going to Iyaloop, your tools and work bags stacked in the back seat, us boys cramming into the back, our shirts tattered with dirt from the days prior. We'd park at the campsite, climb out of the truck, and you'd set us free to explore. You, the boys, and I would hang out up there for hours, hiking the trails or making forts from paracord and strawberry guava trees. You were always teaching us something. How to use a knife, start a campfire, or helping us make slingshots from wood and old spear gun rubber. Matches, knives, and slingshots were the gold standard of a good day. Other days, we'd go diving. You'd take your boogie board float, spear gun strapped on either side. You'd always watch over me and Tate with such care. spotting our drops, making sure we made it back from the surface. Other times, you'd put us on the fish, letting us have the shot. Whenever we went diving, you were always shooting fish, not for yourself, but to give away to other people. You were so selfless in everything you did for us, turn what would have otherwise been boring days into adventures that will not soon pass from memory. You gave me some of the best memories of my childhood that I will cherish forever. Uncle Scott, I am truly blessed to have had such a caring and selfless mentor in my life, and I will be forever grateful for all the time I had with you. Uncle Scott was not only special to me, but my entire family. So when Auntie Jenny asked my sisters to dance hula today, they are honored to do so. My mom, with permission from her kumu, taught my sisters kealala, a hula that she had learned 30 years ago, written by Uncle Bill Panui. Kealala is very special to us. It talks about the dawn of a new day, just like a new life. As we look to the sky, the sun moves across, and at the end of its journey, it sets, just as in life. As it disappears into the ocean, a glistening pathway of light appears on the water. Even though we can't see it, we know the sun is there. We know there is a promise of a new day for all generations, past, present, and future, and that the sun will rise again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I was getting worried that I would have to carry that up by myself. My name is Clyde Asato. I first started volunteering in the American Youth Soccer Organization in 1990. In 2003, I took on the role of AYSO Regional Commissioner for the Iowa region. And one of my responsibilities was to help the region recruit parents in a friendly, non-pressured way to help with the coaching and refereeing. We recruited people that had a positive attitude, enthusiasm for the game, and most important, someone that loved to interact with the kids. I mean, I think that sounds like Scott. In 2006, Scott was one of those recruits. That is when Scott started his coaching journey, coaching his sons, Tate and Toby. In 2020, Scott was awarded the HSTA Friend of Youth Award, which recognizes an outstanding individual who works to support Hawaii's youth. Nominees must be involved in a youth-oriented activity outside of their professional duties, dedicate time and service to this cause, and demonstrate a significant impact on youth. At this time, we have a video of the award that speaks to this award that we're gonna share with you now.
We also want to congratulate Scott Yamashita for winning our Friend of Youth Award. This award is given to a person who goes above and beyond to support the keiki in our community. Scott has been volunteering as an AYSO soccer coach for 14 years. He was nominated by Central Chapter member Cheryl Kasai, who says Scott has guided more than 1,000 players, not just as a coach, but as a mentor. Besides teamwork, he instills respect, self-esteem, and friendship in his players. Mahalo, Scott, for all you do.
Now we will hear from one of Scott's closest friends, Coach Melanie Bain, who started coaching with Scott back in 2017 with the Calvary Chapel Christian Calvary Chapel Christian School soccer team.
Scott was definitely a best friend and actually a brother to me, so I'm honored to be here. I believe Scott saw coaching soccer as a calling, a ministry motivated by the love of God to the boys, girls, and families who crossed his path through the vehicle of soccer. Scott did not compromise on this call and the player-centered approach to the sport. Scott's love for soccer went far beyond what was accomplished on the soccer pitch. I recall Scott and Jenny taking their family to go watch soccer boys kick for the high school football team. He completely believed in loving the players that he came into contact with. During the Calvary Chapel Christian School spring break, we would take both boys and girls varsity soccer teams to Malaikahana Beach Park and camp out there for a few nights. The students and the families loved this, and we had the best time connecting. The students enjoyed campfires, they ate really good camp food, went on crab hunts, swam, boogie boarded, waded to the little island, rode mini dirt bikes, and played hide and go seek in the darkness of the campgrounds, just to name a few things. This is where I believe the students created so many memories from their high school soccer experience under Scott's watch. We also spent countless afternoons, evenings, holidays at Electric Beach with our soccer families and a time or two at Sherwood's, Haleiwa, Baby Makapu, and Mokulaia. Our soccer experience for Calvary Chapel Christian School and IAAYSO no doubt went way beyond the soccer pitch. Scott was a solid and godly mentor for all students on his team. He especially enjoyed coaching Tate, Toby, and Tori, but I believe he and Jenny always balanced this with following their kids' lead on what teams they played for, how often they played, how competitive they wanted their experience to be, and how much Scott was going to be involved in coaching them. There was always balance for Scott because the non-negotiable was the enjoyment of playing, developing skills, and affirming the love for the game. That was it, pure and simple. I think this went back to the days when he played. He was well-versed in the lessons we learn from team sports and how it helps us formed to be responsible adults who contribute to their schools, places of work, places of worship, and the larger community. And I think Scott wanted that for every single one of his players. Billy Graham said this, and I think is very true in Scott's life and in his memory. A coach will impact more people in 1 year than the average person will do in an entire lifetime. Thank you, Scott. You will be greatly missed. But thank God for all the tremendous memories we have of you. We love you. And now we would like to share a special slideshow or video presentation created by Tate Yamashita and Jay Ioki. And the song was requested by Tori Yamashita. and it's Scott and Jenny's wedding song. Thank you.
Good evening, family, friends. I just count it a privilege to be here with the Yamashita family. I'm Pastor Kerry. The remaining part of the slideshow will show some of the struggles that Scott and his family faced during the journey. I'll be singing a song that's entitled Shout to the Lord. And the lyrics that this song represents is the family's relationship with God and how it got them through some of the most painful parts of this journey. And Scott and Jenny would always say to each other, I can't imagine going through this amount of pain and not having a relationship with Jesus. When I think of Scott in just my time of knowing him. His faith in Jesus that he had obviously was very strong, and we see that throughout the relationships of everyone represented in this room. A scripture that comes to mind is John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Scott is now eternally in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, I know that it's his hope that that would be the case for some of you as well.
Hi, everybody. It is amazing, although not a surprise, how many of us are gathered today to celebrate my brother Scott. My name is Miley, and I am Scott's youngest sibling. Together with my brother Eric and my sister Nani, we thank you for honoring and celebrating Scott. I send love from my mom, who is not able to be with us today. I also know Scott and our dad are looking down on us, smiling. Because they are together with our Heavenly Father, who has told them both, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Scott lived an incredible life. He wasn't just a presence in our lives. He was the heartbeat of so many shared memories and the warmth in our stories. As his younger sister, I have many special memories of Scott, starting in Lacau Place, our childhood home, to the many experiences we shared at Palisades Community Chapel and Waianae Assembly of God, our schooling at Lanakila Baptist and Hawaii Baptist Academy, and the times we shared with our families in Hawaii and Washington, where my family and I live. When I think of Scott, I remember his infectious smile. He had that smile his whole life, longer than even I can remember. Because I'm younger than him. Thanks. A frequent comment from others who may not have known Scott very well was, "Your brother is so handsome." Those who did know him well would often say the same thing, but they also knew his heart was even more handsome. He was beautiful inside and out. As a kid, Scott was known as Scooter around our neighborhood. He was very active. I remember him climbing trees and lampposts and playing hide-and-go-seek, picking up sugar cane from the cane haul trucks behind our house, roller skating in our backyard rink that my dad cemented. He got rid of all the grass and cemented it so it was easier to take care of. So we roller skated. He rode his bike, and he often rode his bike with no hands around the block multiple times. And if you know where we lived, it was down and up hills. I thought he was so cool, and I followed him around as much as I could keep up. He also developed the nickname Pyro. I think some of you can figure out that, or you remember that. As a teenager, Scott's focus was not necessarily on school. Actually, he disliked school in the traditional sense. He had other interests. But as others have shared, he was highly intelligent, and his brain was moving so quickly, filled with so many things. He enjoyed his friends, actually more than family, as you might imagine, during those teenage years. He spent time fixing up and restoring his Ford Falcon. And at HBA, I think it was his sophomore year, he quietly, what I would say, ruled the school. He would wear his brown suede boots, his leather backpack, and his hat. And he was just super cool. This was about the same time that he worked as a ranch hand, and that's when I learned what Rocky Mountain oysters were. Around that same time, he was also discovered and started modeling. He was Kramer's Man of the Month multiple times, and then became Kramer's Man of the Year. I remember my mom and I sitting at Ala Moana right outside Kramer's, and we would just sit there. I don't know. It was probably like 5 minutes, but it felt like hours. We would just watch different teenage girls and sometimes their moms walk by and just look. He would have like life-size posters and pictures in the window of Kramer's. And if you don't know what Kramer's is, it was a men's clothing store. And they would just like, ooh, oogle in awe. And it was pretty funny. We would just laugh like, ooh, we know him. And I also remember Scott driving me to school. And remember I talked about him riding his bike with no hands? He also drove his car with no hands. And it's a skill that he taught me unknowingly. I just watched. He was a teacher from very young. And my kids often ask me, how did you learn to do that? And I'm like, oh, my brother. This was one other memory from high school that I have, and I don't know, I can't prove it, but remember he was pyro. We often had some unplanned crisis drills that we would all have to evacuate during exams. Never asked, but always wondered and was pretty sure my brother had something to do with that. Remember, he didn't love traditional school. This was a scripture that he shared in one of his early videos after diagnosis, and our HBA friends will recognize. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As a young adult, Scott was super adventurous. He moved to the mainland on his own for different jobs. He even moved beyond the mainland to, I don't even remember what island he lived on. Somebody else will remember, but all over. He didn't let any obstacle stop him. He loved meeting people and learning new things, and he loved helping others. Scott's generosity knew no bounds. He got that trait from our dad. His kindness left an indelible mark on those fortunate enough to cross his path. Scott lived his adult life with the philosophy of, literally and figuratively, give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. He was always teaching others, even when you didn't want him to teach you something. When someone asked him a question, he didn't just answer the question. He shared the reason why and used every conversation as a teaching moment. He always had an opinion, and his opinion was typically backed by knowledge that the typical person wouldn't and didn't know. When we were young, I compared Scott to the well-known TV star, MacGyver. He was so knowledgeable, creative, and ingenious, always working to make life better and easier for others. One simple example of this is, I remember when we were young, my mom disliked television, and so she threw out the TV. And that really affected my life growing up because, you know, I was little and I wanted to watch TV. But Scott, he would MacGyver that, and he found a computer monitor and a VCR and an antenna and foil, and we watched TV. It might have just been three channels and it might have been fuzzy snow, but we watched TV. So that's one example. Another scripture that Scott shared in his recent videos, Proverbs 3:1-6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. As we grew older and began to grow our own families, Scott always was the one making the efforts to bring everyone together. When my family would come home to visit in Hawaii, Scott and Jenny would often host the family get-togethers. He also made sure to bring his family to the mainland to spend time with me and my family during good times and bad. When our dad was diagnosed 2.5 years ago, just shortly before Scott, and during that time and after my dad passed, Scott was the one who took charge and led our family through all of it. He was always about family first. Scott set an example for all of us to live every day better. In these moments of reflection, let's commit to carry forward the essence of Scott's spirit, the laughter, the love, the compassion, as we continue life's journey. Let's be guided by the lessons he taught us and the values he held dear. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let everything you do be in love. Here's to you, Scott, to a life that continues to resonate in our hearts and to the everlasting love that binds us together, even in your absence. I want to leave you with Scott's words. Stay positive. because whatever happens, it is part of God's plan, and it will be for the good. Thanks.
Excuse me, I'd like to... Excuse me, I'd like to call up Pamela Young and Gary Sprinkle, who are going to share a special poem.
When we first met Scott, it was like we had known him forever. So likable and a man of courage and character.
And Jenny has asked us to share a very short poem with you. It's given her comfort, and we hope that it gives you comfort, too.
And we can just see Scott saying these words. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight so spectacular, please wipe away that tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sound of music cannot compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing.
I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I am not so far away. We really are not apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
I send you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I send you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told.
Please love each other as the Father said to do, for I cannot count the blessings of love he has for you.
So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
Until we meet again, old friend. And now please welcome Sammy and Johnny.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Veneri. It's the way I start our show because my name's not on it, as it isn't tonight on the guide that you guys got for the service.
Saying a big mahalo, saying thank you.
Yes. I want to thank everyone for us allowing us to be here and talk. The family, thank you so much for having us here, also for opening your doors to the two of us when we filmed our show. It is our show.
Our show, yes it is.
It's our show.
We learned three things that day, right, John?
We did. When we went over to film, there were a few things we didn't know. And so we'd like to share those things with you. One, we didn't know that Jenny had required Scott to renovate
the whole house.
And not just the kitchen. Right.
The whole house.
It was, we understood it was just the kitchen, but then we realized she made him renovate the whole house, the whole thing.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. And then, as you guys well know, the show is about, you know, looking into people's refrigerator and finding things that we can cook.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we like to incorporate things that are either in the fridge or around the house, like the pantry.
Yeah, but.
The garden.
Yeah, so we leaned over the railing and we saw this nice little suckling pig, and John looked at me, I looked at John, I went like, cowyuk, roast pork.
There were a number of dishes that we could think of that included pork.
Right.
But what we didn't know was that was the family pet. And three, Scott's a fisherman.
Scott's a great fisherman. The show was really easy because there was a lot of nice fish in the refrigerator.
We knew that, and we also knew his brother Eric.
Right.
But what we didn't know was that Eric didn't eat fish until that night.
Yep. And we were so proud.
Yeah, we got him to eat it for the first time on the show.
Even Scott was like, he's eating fish, you know, so that was pretty cool. I think was the first on having Eric eat fish.
Yeah.
So at your folks' house, that was pretty cool.
Here's what we do know. It was a good show. We really enjoyed ourselves at the house. And clearly we've made lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. We're sad to say goodbye to Scott, but we're so happy that we were just a small part of his life.
That's right.
I remember a pinky promise, too, saying we were the best friends. He added a word, too. He said, best friends ever.
That's right.
But it was a fun show. We were so happy that we were able to come to your guys' house. Jenny, Tate, Toby, and Victoria would like to express their gratitude to everyone who has helped them through this journey over the past 2.5 years, and your continuous support and love has been positively overwhelming. And we feel very blessed to have every one of you in our lives. This is, of course, from the family.
And, you know, I really am blessed and thankful to be part of a great company and doing Jenny's hard times. They were there for her. Novo Nordisk, want to just shout out for their support in her challenging times with the family, and has given her the time to really share with her family and Scott. Mm-hmm. And there's two gentlemen that John's going to read their names that came all the way out from the headquarters.
So a special thank you to Jim and David who made it all the way out here and were here tonight. Also, a special mahalo to everyone who participated in developing and continuing to maintain Eva Properties. This property means so much to Scott and his way of helping others, as you saw in the video. He could have seen where the property is today, but we know he's smiling down on it and very grateful for everyone who has helped along the way.
That's right.
Also, thank you to Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, for the use of their facility, and to everyone who helped in today's celebration of Scott's life. There are too many to list, obviously, but the family deeply recognizes and appreciates your help. For Scott's care, thank you to Dr. Eric Itoman for your help and guidance when Scott was diagnosed. And finally, to the specialists and staff at the Cancer Treatment Center in Arizona, Queens Health System, MD Anderson in Texas, Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, City of Hope in Los Angeles, and Malama Ola Home Hospice. Thank you so much. There have been a lot of different Bible verses tonight, and I wanted to leave you with something before I bring Scott's younger son, Toby, up to the stage. It was a verse that was given to me when my mom passed away 17 years ago, and I hope that it can give you comfort. It's from Psalms 116:15, and it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Clearly, he was one of them. Thank you for having us at this time.
I want to say one more thing, John.
I always cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm used to do what you do.
But
anyway, this is for Scott. You know, he made my wife one of those guava sticks. And I just want to share with Jenny and the family. She uses it all the time. You know, my wife has a bad back. She just recently had back surgery, but she used it way before that. She goes in her garden. She uses the bottom part of the stick to make her holes to plant her green beans, which she's very famous for. And she's also whacked my leg that had a bruise. And my son, Chris, came over one day. He said, "Dad, what happened to your feet back there?" I said, "Where?" He says, "Back there." He looked like there's a big bruise. I said, "Ask mom." So Scott, thank you very much. She used it in a garden. She used it to walk, and I also had it on my legs. But love you folks all, and thank you guys all for coming. And John, you're a man.
All right, we'd like to welcome up Scott's younger son, Toby.
Hello, everyone. My name is Toby Yamashita, Scott's youngest son. And my mom wanted me to come up here and share a brief story with you all about my dad. So when my dad was growing up, he was given a ring band from his auntie Karen Yamashita. And this ring served my dad as a reminder that before every decision he faced, he must pray about it and God will guide him the rest of the way. The ring was a representation of how my dad lived his life, making decisions and choices guided by his love for others and God's will. My dad passed down this ideology to me and my siblings. And as a reminder of this, the day after his passing, my mom gifted me and my siblings the same ring that my dad once wore. Now, even after my dad's passing, he continues to impact how we live our lives. So my mom would like to have everyone participate. Upon exiting the sanctuary, we'll be handing out wristbands for you all to take home. On these wristbands is written, "Pray about it." And my dad's sunrise date of July 13th, 1972, and his sunset date of November 19th, 2023. Our family hopes this wristband will serve as a reminder to make decisions that are based on love, kindness, and selflessness, just as my dad once did. Then one last thing is, my dad requested that after his passing, that we would hold a paddle out in commemoration of his legacy and the spreading of his ashes at Electric Beach. Electric Beach holds a lot of memories for my dad and us here today. The date of my dad's paddle out is undecided due to bad water conditions and will be provided once water conditions are better. At this time, can I have all the volunteers for the reception head down to the gym and volunteers for the wristbands to wait at the exits? Thank you. And now I'd like to invite Pastor Ed to come up and bless the food.
Let me encourage you while you're fellowshipping, during the time that we break bread together, that you would continue to express your appreciation to one another for Scott and what he's meant to you. And also please support the family, Jenny Tate, Toby, and Tori. When his friends were talking about how he was concerned more about others than himself, that was certainly true. I remember the last time that we saw him, Coach Cello and I, he was so concerned about his family, and we had to rest assure him that God had them in his hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Although it is a sorrowful time, God, we do rejoice in the work that you've done in Scott's life, God, and we understand that a grain must fall for life to bear, be born. And so we're here to celebrate him. And I pray as we gather together, Lord, that we would just remember the good times, remember his love and his unselfish desire for others. Lord, we pray for his family, his dear wife and his dear children. Lord, that your grace would continue to be upon them and that you would strengthen them as the days go on. Father, bless our time together. We thank you for your provision. Again, we pray that it would not merely be a pit stop, but Lord, it would be a time to support the Yamashita family. It may be make ties with some of Scott's dear friends and loved ones. Father, we pray that this place would be filled with you and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as it's Christmas, Lord, I know that Scott would desire that each and every one here would invite Christ into their lives. Lord, again, Scott lived not for himself, but he lived for you. And that is so evident by the things that people shared, by his wife and the demeanor she carries today, and by his blessed children, Lord. So again, Lord, we give you honor, and we pray that you continue to be with us in the presence of your Holy Spirit as we continue to celebrate our friend, Scott. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. And then everyone, please feel free to stay for the reception. There will be three lines of food down at the gym with volunteers helping direct everyone. And then there will also be a separate food table for all the kids who are 10 years old and under. And then the restrooms are located in this side of the gym. We also request that if there are any spills, please help us clean it up immediately to prevent anyone from slipping. And me, my mom, Tate, and Tori would like to thank everyone for supporting us and being here during this busy time of the year. Merry Christmas and God bless.